D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you until noon. Then Chase and Big Joe from noon to 3. Jake Lyman and Derek Mason from 3 to 6. And we're kind of switching things up again tomorrow. I'm going to be on with Robbie tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. at the crack of dawn with my friends Robbie Stanley and Ian Safar. And you'll be with Derek Mason tomorrow. I can't remember which time.
12 to 3. I gotta make sure I get on this. I've got my stuff straight.
What I can't wait for
is... Are you
ready
for the early wake-up call?
I mean, I was up at 4:45 this morning.
Okay, so not a big deal.
My dog was kicking me in the back, so I was up at 4:45 this morning, which is around the time I'm going to wake up tomorrow to come in here bright and early with Robbie and Ian. By the way, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's Stillman & Company, starring Joe Rexroad and Paul Kaharsky.
The Bash Jaredoff.
Oh, man, that's... phrasing, David Janes. Phrasing, my friend. But let's he knows what he did. He knows what
I knew exactly what I was doing.
He knows what he did. So there was a sudden retirement in the NFL over the weekend. And of course I had interest in this as I am a fan of the team. Derek Carr retired from the NFL. He had some major shoulder issues, which ultimately led him to deciding to hang up the cleats after a, I would call, a solid career. He had a lot of turnover, a lot of different coaches, a lot of different offensive coordinators. He was a solid pro, I would say, over the course of his career. But it does change the dynamic for the New Orleans Saints. Of course, from a cap perspective, I have to whisper that on this station sometimes. But also the makeup of the Saints quarterback room. It's an interesting mix, Willie Donick. You have Tyler Shuck, the second-round pick in this year's draft, number 40 overall. You have Spencer Rattler, who was a fifth-round pick in 2024, who went 0-6 as a starter last season in place of an injured Carr. And Jake Haener, who was a 2023 fourth-round pick. So not a lot of experience in that section of the Saints locker room. But the Derek Carr retirement sent ripples through the NFL. You know, as a Saints fan, you know, you never want to wish poorly upon somebody, but it might be a blessing in disguise, you know, to get rid of the contract as much as you can. You know, the NFL salary cap, I should say, is incredibly complex to me. But a really interesting ripple effect from this decision by Derek Carr.
Well, can you help me fill in a little bit the basics of the salary cap ramifications of his retiring when he did? Because isn't there one theory that he is going to retire and then heal up and then somewhere down the road come out of retirement to a team that desperately needs a quarterback?
So this is according to NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, yes, which is a fantastic name for a newspaper. Carr's retirement is expected to be processed after June 1st. The transaction will clear Carr's base salary off the books for the 2026 season, clearing a $30 million commitment next season and dropping his cap hit by nearly half. New Orleans had already restructured Carr's contract this offseason, converting all but the minimum salary to signing bonus and lowering his 2025 cap hit by nearly $31 million. Because that money has already been allocated for this season, there will be minimal changes to Carr's 2025 cap hit.
Right, so they paid him.
Yes.
So there's a benefit for the Saints, cap-wise, to his retiring, right?
Yes.
And for Carr, in theory, because he's retiring because he's hurt, right? That's what he's telling you?
Yes, so the Saints said that Carr experienced pain in his right shoulder in late March after his first significant throwing session of the offseason. The Saints said scans determined Carr had a labral tear and, quote-unquote, significant degenerative changes to his rotator cuff. Ugh. According to the team, surgery was an option, but that would have put his 2025 season in jeopardy with a possibility that Carr would never return to his previous level of strength and function.
Okay. I guess there's still maybe a conspiracy theory, not to bring up that word again, but that Carr could reemerge after training camp, maybe even in October, maybe even November, where he's like, hey, my arm feels pretty good. And some team out there needs a quarterback, and he could come in for a song and be available off the street.
Remember, like there was just Aaron Rodgers for.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, of course, plays this game every year, but I think Ryan Tannehill would be the one that. Remember, he didn't retire, right? Ryan Tannehill was a free agent and just basically said, I'll think about it. Call me if you're interested, and I'll decide, am I interested in you? But that's basically where Carr is now, right? I don't know if he's said publicly that that's what he might do.
I don't
right
think
now
he
it's
said
just
that
retiring.
Publicly.
Right,
right.
But let's put that aside for a second, because the Saints have been, how would you categorize that? In the post Drew Brees, they've been pretty mediocre, right? Never so bad to get a high pick. And not really a playoff team.
They have been wandering the quarterback wasteland ever since Drew Brees left the game. You've had Andy Dalton at quarterback. You've had Jameis Winston at quarterback. Taysom Hill, Joe Rex Rhodes' favorite player, even started some games at quarterback. Trevor Siemian started a game or two at quarterback for the Saints, including a game in Nashville a few years ago. It's been bad, man. It's been bad. But yes, they have not been bad enough to benefit from the NFL's lack of a draft lottery system.
I think a lot of people like me, right at first, were like, why didn't David Carr just tell them before the draft that, look, I got to do the right thing here. I don't think I can throw. I don't think I can play. Would it help you if I retired now? I just want to let you know this so that you can draft accordingly.
Since Drew Brees left New Orleans, the Saints have gone 9-8, 7-10, 9-8, and 5-12.
There you go. So mediocre.
Yes.
But why didn't this get addressed before the draft?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
So the bottom line is they are where they are now, and they're in a really tough position because you just named the quarterback that they have, and that's who they're going to have to roll with. For better or worse.
Again, unless, you know, we've been awaiting the announcement from the Pittsburgh Steelers that they're signing Aaron Rodgers. Maybe New Orleans is an opportunity now. Maybe.
Is that what you would want?
As a fan? No.
Okay. Well, that I was actually listening to the MMQB podcast with Connor Orr and Albert Breer, and they were discussing this, and they concluded that this might be the best thing for the Saints is to bottom out and get a high first-round pick, whether that's number one, number two, number five. But that's where maybe they're going because they've been playing the move money around salary cap game, rob Peter to pay Paul to stay somewhat competitive, and it hasn't really worked for the last five seasons or so. So wouldn't maybe that be the best thing? Because they have not had a top three pick since the Vince Young draft, 2006, or is it the year after Vince Young? 2006 is the last time they had a top three pick,
and it was Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. Am I remembering that right?
Yes,
was he
Mario
number three?
Williams went number one, Bush two, Vince Young three.
Vince Young three, Bush was two. Okay,
Bush
so
was there, two.
That's what I was.
Williams, Bush, and Young were the top three in 2000.
Okay, so that was the VY. That was a long time ago. That's the last time they picked because Drew Brees had them winning so consistently for so long.
Indeed.
So, who else is possibly coming out in the draft next year? Possibly. He's eligible at quarterback.
Let me guess.
Has New Orleans ties.
It would give the citizens of New Orleans, all the fuzzies, all the warm and fuzzies. If a Manning put on a New Orleans Saints uniform again.
Yes. Now, Arch Manning would be eligible for the draft next year.
Who knows if he'll actually come out.
Well, that's...
The Mannings like to stay in school, as I understand.
And this was a very astute point made by Orr and Breer, is historically, or at least in recent history, college quarterbacks who play 25 or more games, start 25 or more games, tend to have a better success rate are more ready to transition to the NFL than those who have less. And there's many examples. That doesn't always stay true to form, but by and large, that's been the case. And as you just mentioned, the Mannings have been very patient. Peyton Manning famously came back to school for his senior year when he easily could have come out and been a high first-round pick, if not the first pick, the year before he actually came out. Eli Manning played a lot of college football before he came out, and he was the first pick in the draft as well. So it stands to reason that you better be prepared. If you're going to tank this year, there's that word again. We just talked about lotteries last year. That if you're tanking for Arch Manning, you have to be prepared for the fact that he may not come into the draft. Because he started, what, two games in college right now? And they were kind of scrub games that they were heavily favored and they were going to win easy. You and I could have maybe quarterbacked. Well, maybe not.
Don't give me too much credit.
Maybe not. But a replacement-level college quarterback with Texas's roster probably would have won both of the games that Manning did. But that being said, he looks like he's got some special tools. That will be a story to follow all year, next year in the SEC, when Arch Manning takes over finally after all the hoopla and is Texas's starting quarterback. But it's a great dream that a lot of New Orleans people are saying is, hey, we could pick for Arch Manning. But you would almost maybe have to be bad for 2 years.
Yes.
But who have we been talking about? What team have we been talking about around here that we think it's going to take more than 1 year to fix all of the problems? I think it starts with a T, the Tennessee Titans, because I think that's a really intriguing team to watch now. New Orleans is forced to close the window on whatever they've been trying to do, which I don't know what you think about the job they've done. Sometimes it's better just to bottom out. And it's hard to do it when you're in the market.
They're old.
And you've got fans that are like, what, you could still win.
Right.
It's the NFC South. It's a terrible division. You can win that division.
Alvin Kamara.
AFC South. All you got to do is beat the Jaguars and the Texans. You can win.
No, Calvin,
and you're reluctant. You can be competitive.
Alvin Kamara and Cam Jordan, they're grandpas effectively at the NFL, you know, in terms of NFL age. It's, you know, like we were talking about draft lotteries earlier. And you know, this is sort of the inner conflict I have. Like, I don't love the idea of outright tanking, like knowing your team is doing it. But I also believe, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs later in the show, that you can only get better if you allow yourself to get worse at some point. I think that is a necessary evil in these sports, that there are exceptions, but I do believe that you have to take that step back in order to take two steps forward. So if this is what forces the Saints to finally do that, I'm on board with it. I just, part of me is like, I don't love the idea of my team like going out there and knowing, like the trust the process era Philadelphia 76ers. It's like, I don't want to watch a team that I know is tanking. Like if it's wink, right. Wink tanking, that's what
that's the hardest part of it.
Yes. So that's the difficult part. One texter says, if Arch Manning did come out next year, would Archie pull another Eli/Chargers/Giants deal again? I don't know the allure of New Orleans for the Manning family.
But the intriguing thing would be, let's say New Orleans had the third or the fourth pick, but there's a lot of sentiment from the Manning family that, hey, we've orchestrated some drafts before. How do we get him to New Orleans? You know, your conspiracy theories would be running rampant, right? That's what he's getting at.
Jeff on our text line says, if Cam Ward does not play up to his assigned potential and Carr has successful shoulder surgery and wants back in the game, what are the odds the bargain bin shopping Titans will have him looking for a realtor in Nashville?
Let's hope it doesn't get to that. But I would think Carr would only be interested in a place where maybe he could jump on and help a team get into the playoffs, right?
So we've used the analogy of the bin before, right?
Right, you're not going to come out of the bin to a bad team.
Derek Carr is that.
Or you're not going to go into a bin where a bad team could pick you out of the bin.
Derek Carr is that DVD in the bin where the jacket's a little torn. Maybe there's a scratch on the disc that prevents you from watching the special features. Like, it's still good. You'll still be able to watch the movie. It may just not be how you remember it because a scene right. might skip.
Right. And that's a word. That's a bad feeling when you want to watch the special feature and it doesn't go.
No. Remember special features, kids? Remember DVDs? Kids don't know. Whatever. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Derek Carr situation and the ripple effect it will have. But I heard Jake and Derek talking about another potential situation coming out of the Derek Carr retirement, which relates to the Tennessee Titans. And we'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course is on Thursday, May 29th. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
So the Saints knew there was a possibility that Derek Carr wouldn't play in 2025. Like, as he was dealing with the shoulder injuries, he kind of got on this offseason. He tried to rehab. He took a shot, tried to get to a point where he could function. And it became pretty clear that without surgery, which he now needs, which he would need, without surgery, he was not going to be 100%, was not going to be able to play. What we didn't know, and what the Saints probably only learned recently, was that he was willing to not just work with them, but really, like, gave up a lot. Like, retirement, look, best case option, he played. That's not going to happen. Second best option is he retires, and he gave up $30 million that were previously guaranteed to him. Like, he gave it up. He takes his $10 million in a roster bonus, and he gives up 30. That means nothing this year, but next year, his cap hit drops by $30 million. That kind of gets them back toward more like a regular salary cap team, I guess, and does them like a huge solid. So that, like, if you want to be like, you know, compromise, like, that's a compromise. And that, I thought, Derek Carr, do you need to do that? I'm not sure a lot of people would have done that. I thought that was pretty cool. And yeah, I would say it gives Tyler Shuck the kind of the inside track. You know, he's got to prove it. But you know, he was considered to be the most NFL ready starter in the group. We'll see now. He's got a good opportunity.
That was Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee Show discussing Derek Carr's sudden retirement from the NFL over the weekend. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. So as Ian Rappaport mentioned, Tyler Shuck, a second-round pick in this draft, number 40 overall, may have the inside track to be the Saints' starting quarterback. So I have a trivia question for you, Willie Donick, and I want all of you to participate as well, 615-737-1025. Maybe I won't share the answer until the end of the segment to give you wonderful listeners an opportunity to chime in. Should Tyler Shuck win the Saints starting quarterback job, he would be the first rookie quarterback selected outside of the first round to start his first career game since whom?
All right, I have a couple educated guesses here.
Okay. I will not reveal the answer until the end of the segment. So you can share your answers and you can text us your answers at 615-737-1025. Again, should Tyler Shuck win the Saints starting quarterback job, he would be the first rookie quarterback selected outside of the first round to start his first career game since whom?
In other words, the opening day starter.
Yes.
You win the job as a non-first round pick.
Correct.
At quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Which is happening maybe out of necessity here. Unless he, I mean, I think Rattler could still beat him out, right? I mean, Rattler did play some. He wasn't awful.
He went 0-6 as a starter.
That was a bad team.
Yes, it was.
And again, what's the big picture? Like, the famous words by Mike Vrabel. Do you want my guess now?
Give me your guess.
I want to say Geno Smith.
Okay. I'm not going to reveal the answer until the end of the segment.
Okay. That would be my first
But
guess.
I want you guys to text
Geno
in as
Smith
well.
Geno Smith with the Jets.
Again,
way back when.
The trivia question of the segment. Should Tyler Shuck win the Saints starting quarterback job, he would be the first rookie quarterback selected outside of the first round to start his first career game since whom?
Remember Mike Vrabel said over and over, I don't think you rebuild in the NFL. You don't rebuild. Even though there were a lot of people, I think even, and I'm trying to remember, I think this was more after they've let go of John Robinson. where it appeared that Mike Vrabel was the guy spearheading everything in the direction of the Titans. And I think there were a lot of people saying, well, this is the time now to really start. And the real root of it is that they just had terrible drafts for three straight years. But Mike Vrabel was pushing back and saying, I don't think you rebuild in this league. You can't afford to rebuild in this league. And he, you know, the next part of that, which I don't think he said, but is the inevitable, is you get fired. If you lose, you get fired. So you don't really get the time to rebuild a roster. But looking back on it, the Titans probably would have been better off starting the rebuild earlier. In hindsight's 20/20. I can understand why they did what they did. But the Saints are being forced into this, right? This is the move that forces them to have to rebuild and maybe have to do this, start a non-first-round draft pick at quarterback on opening day of his rookie year.
So I heard Jake and Derek touch on this briefly yesterday about whether Derek Carr's sudden retirement opens the door for a potential Will Levis trade, because we expected a Will Levis trade leading into the draft. It didn't happen at the draft. Mike Borgonzi said after the draft that they didn't even broach the subject, really, if I recall correctly. I don't see a fit there with the Saints. Again, they have a inexperienced quarterback group with a rookie quarterback in Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, 6 career starts. Jake Haener was a 4th-round pick in 2023. He's played in mop-up duty for the Saints over the past couple of years. But, you know, I still believe that despite the Titans continuously saying that they value Will Levis and that it's good to have him in the room and the competition and all that stuff, eventually a team is going to be in need of a quarterback. It's going to be similar to what we saw. My prediction is it's going to be similar to what we saw last year with Malik Willis. Malik Willis was traded basically at the end of training camp. I think it was the last week in August. It actually may have been my son's birthday, because I think I may remember seeing the tweet during my son's birthday party. But so it was late August when that happened. And that my prediction is if there is a Will Levis trade, it's going to happen at the end of training camp. Maybe he gets into a preseason game, shows out, has some good practices, and some team desperately needs a quarterback. I mean, the Steelers, who knows what's going on with the Steelers at quarterback? Here is their quarterback roster. Mason Rudolph. You all remember Mason Rudolph, right? Will Howard and Skylar Thompson. Now, maybe the Steelers don't want to sign up for the Mason Rudolph, Will Levis experience because that went so swimmingly here last season. But I'm wondering what other openings there could be that could manifest a Will Levis trade, perhaps.
That's a big one in Pittsburgh to wonder. And with the schedule coming out, this was another thing that was brought up in that NMQB podcast that I referenced earlier, is with the schedule makers, are they scheduling? The Steelers are always a great draw, no matter what, because they have such an amazing fan base that spreads all across the country, really. But are they scheduling it with the idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback or Mason Rudolph? Because that would affect the ratings of a primetime game. Like, if I'm the network, I'd like to know that, and you can't know that right now. But that's coming out on Friday, right? But what is the latest on Aaron Rodgers? And if you're the Steelers, do you really want to go down that road, a 42-year-old guy who hasn't played well in 3 years? That's a big gamble for sure. But as it relates to Will Levis, I still think right now, today, even with the Saints situation and to a lesser degree the Steelers, I don't think he has any trade value. If he did, I think they already would have traded him. I'm talking about zero trade value.
Well,
now that could change in training camp with injuries, because I would have said the same thing about Malik Willis. Zero trade value. And I was even surprised at the training camp that they got a 7th-round pick, which isn't a lot of value.
But it's something. I remember when we talked to Tim Hasselbeck after the draft. And by the way, we'll talk to Tim at 11 o'clock. And we talked about the Sam Howell trade that was made during the NFL draft from the Seahawks to the Vikings. It was basically a 5th-round pick swap for Sam Howell. And I asked him, do you think Will Levis would be worth more than that or less than that? And I thought Tim was going to say less than that. I believe Tim actually said he would have Will Levis valued more than Sam Howell.
I was surprised at Tim's answer there.
So It's a good question. I don't know what Will Levis's value is. Right now, it's probably not much. But if Sam Howell is worth a fifth-round pick, I think that Will Levis could be in that range. I don't see a fit in New Orleans. I think if they wanted to bring in another quarterback, it would need to be an experienced quarterback, like guy who's been around the block. Like, I know that Tim
Boyle. But again, this would come back to the question.
Right.
What's better for your franchise? That would be the Mike Vrabel answer. I got to get somebody in here who's experienced. I got to give it a shot. We're in the NFC South. We can win it.
Well, someone with experience could be Tim Boyle, who doesn't have a lot of playing experience,
yes,
but has been around the league.
Yes.
That sort of experience.
But what is your goal? Is your goal to try to be, quote, competitive? Or are you better off just not tanking, but just playing through it with the young quarterbacks and seeing what happens, seeing what you have? Exploratory was the term I used all of the offseason before they drafted Cam Ward. And build the rest of your roster. Take the hit, the salary, eat the money that you've been compiling up on the credit card bill, the dead money that's been plaguing the franchise for the Saints for a long time, and move forward. That's a better pathway to getting back to where you want to be.
Are you ready for the answer?
So
yes.
Again, I'm sorry. On the Will Levis part, mm-hmm. If I am a GM, I would say to myself, I'm not sure they're even going to keep Will Levis on the roster, so why would I trade them anything? I'll wait. If they cut him, then maybe I'll bring him on. I think that makes more sense than I'll trade you something for him right now. Unless you really think that much of him that you want him in there now for all of the offseason stuff. And I just don't think he's got that much value. I don't think he is in that category.
Are you ready for the answer to the trivia question?
I am.
So according to ESPN, should Tyler Shuck win the job, he would be the first rookie quarterback selected outside of the first round to start his first career game since you said...
I said Geno Smith. Yes.
David, do you have a guess?
DeShone Kizer?
DeShone Kizer. Congratulations, my friend. DeShone Kizer. Former Tennessee Titan DeShone Kizer. He did it in 2017 with the Cleveland Browns.
And what was the record of that Browns team?
Kizer went 0-15
pretty
as a
bad
starter.
Yeah. That was didn't they go 0-16 that year?
Yes.
Perfection.
To the texter who said Dak Prescott,
I think they had a parade. I think they had a parade in Cleveland that year. Seriously, I think they had a parade when they completed the perfect season of 0-16 with Kizer starting 15 of the 16. Did Geno Smith start his first game?
That's
a
good question.
Because that was prior to 2017.
One texter said Dak Prescott, which I believe is accurate, but that was in 2016. Kizer was in 2017.
Wow, Dak Prescott. I did not think about him. You're right.
Right, because Tony Romo got injured, if I recall correctly. But... Dak Prescott, I think, would have qualified for that, but
yeah.
DeShone Kizer came after.
I was going back to the days of Gus Frerotte. Remember when he beat out? He was a lower pick, and Heath Shuler from the University of Tennessee, a great college quarterback, was drafted in the top three picks. But Gus Frerotte ended up being a way better NFL quarterback. Not that he was Joe Montana or anything like that, but he was solid, and Heath Shuler just never got it.
615-737-1025. Congratulations, David James. That's very impressive.
Well, actually, shout out to Ian. Ian helped me out with that.
All
as
right,
well.
Ian Safar. Hat tip to
what
Ian
do you mean,
Safar.
Quote, helped you out.
Help.
Did you Google some things?
No,
did you use AI?
I am not a Google person.
He's more of a Bing person.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember Bing?
What's Bing?
Microsoft's
Let's Bing it.
Microsoft's answer to Google was Bing.
Is Bing?
Yes.
Is this like Dave Bing from the Detroit Pistons?
Or Chandler Bing? The
Chandler Bing?
The Vanderbilt recruit, Chandler Bing.
Bada Bing?
What was the name of the Microsoft iPod? The Zune. Remember the Zune? Nobody bought the Zune.
Oh, boy.
615-737-1025. There is a quarterback lurking in the shadows that I'm wondering about, who could potentially be on the move.
Ooh.
Lurking in
there
the
is?
Yes, there is. And we'll talk about them next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Justin and Greenbrier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Zune was the butt of a joke in the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It was given as a gift and said to be what everyone on Earth was using to listen to music. I don't think I ever met anybody who owned a Zune, which was the Microsoft version of the iPod.
I certainly did not.
I had a cousin.
I did have an iPod.
You had a cousin who had a Zune?
Yep. It was so funny.
I did have the same iPod for a long time. And there was a period of time where I was holding tight to the iPod. And
me too, until mine broke.
Didn't put the all the music on my iPhone.
Yes.
I don't think I really knew how to do it. And it was weird. I was like, when I'm listening to music, I want my iPod, not my phone. I was that guy for a while. And then I left my iPod on the bus one time. That was dumb.
I dropped my iPod and cracked the screen while I was exercising, and I was very upset about it. There was
Does anybody still have an iPod?
There was something
with song like your cherished songs from that day.
My dad.
Yeah.
There was something.
So does it still work?
No. Yeah, it still works. Yeah.
Like I think it's kind of fun just because you can look back on what you put on the iPod in that era. It gives you a very specific year range of songs, just like. When you open up an old shoebox, which I still have of all my old cassettes, I still have them all. Like all the tapes I got, I've got those.
There was something so satisfying about the
my CDs too.
About the click wheel on the iPod, just the way it felt and the click 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 click. Click. Yeah. Oh man,
you get to.
What is that called? ASMR? Is that what it's called?
Did you use your thumb when you use the circle? Did people use the index finger?
I used my thumb.
Okay,
I feel like that would be one of those ASMR things. Just the iPod. Click wheel sound, the click, 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 click. Oh, it's just so satisfying. Long live the days of the iPod.
Wasn't there a thing called Snooty?
I have no idea what that is.
iTunes backwards, where you could put songs on there. Maybe somebody could help me out there. I remember the secret of Snooty one time. I think I used it.
That I don't know. But here's what I do know. There is a quarterback lurking in the shadows. Kirk Cousins. I'm wondering about Kirk Cousins in the quarterback carousel. He is still on the Falcons. We are all surprised by this, I think. ESPN wrote, rather than releasing him, the Falcons picked up a $10 million roster bonus for Cousins on March 15th, which will take effect in 2026. The team has made it clear that it won't just cut him without getting any compensation from another organization. Cousins, who has a no-trade clause, has made it known that he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL this coming season. He went as far as a phone meeting with owner Arthur Blank to plead his case for being released.
So he is trying to get released.
I'm imagining Kirk Cousins now doing all of these things at the Falcons facility to try to get fired.
Throw the ball into the lake.
Slashing the tires of the GM.
So if it was configured like the Titans practice facility, rather than the myth of the ball bounced into the water, he could actually throw it into the water, which would be so far off that maybe... Because this happens in some movies, right?
What?
People in high school intentionally flunking so they can stay in school, high school another year.
Yeah.
I think in...
Wasn't that the premise of the movie Van Wilder? He never graduated.
Maybe. I'm thinking of the Duck Man in Pretty in Pink.
Yes.
Intentionally flunking so he can stay in the same grade as the girl he's in love with, Molly Ringwald. I think in Stranger Things, which I'm trying to bow up on my Stranger Things because the new season's coming out pretty soon. Eddie, the guy that heads up the Dungeons & Dragons club, isn't he trying to finally graduate because he's been in high school forever? It's like a common theme.
I never got into Stranger Things.
Ooh, sorry about that.
I've got enough on my plate.
I feel like you should do that. I think you'd like it.
Why, Adam, you give off liking Stranger Things, I feel like.
I feel like you dig.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But everybody has shows
be saying
that
if I didn't have big-ass glasses. You wouldn't be saying that if I didn't wear
glasses. No, I would.
So. Nerd! I hear you. But
Cousins,
yes.
Does, like, how would you force a release? I have seen people do that. They just pout. Not a good team guy. You make it miserable. I've seen Ricky Henderson do that for any number of teams in baseball back in the day. God rest his soul, just passed away. But there have been plenty of powders. NBA people have done it, right? Where you just make life miserable on your team. Like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. He doesn't want to be here. It happens in hockey too, right?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Mikko Rantanen just kind of did it, right? That was more of a business contract thing, but
Matthew Tkachuk didn't want to re-sign him with the Flames.
But he didn't do it during the season. He did it during the offseason and said, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to re-sign here. Mm-hmm. That was more noble, I think.
What about the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson stuff that happened in Vancouver that led to Miller being traded? Does that count?
I don't know if I would put it in the same category as this, mm-hmm. where you're just you're trying to get released. You're trying to be so much of a
so what
a
you're
thorn.
Saying is that Kirk that, Cousins,
but that's what he's in the shadows. But he's in the shadows in the Falcons locker room, just trying to figure out how I get out of here.
Remember a few months ago when we read the story about the guy, the Yankees fan who interfered with Mookie Betts during the
right.
World Series, and it was the "Where is he now?" type story, and he said that like someone sent animal poop to his mom's house or something, and Derek
yeah.
looked up the website where you could
do that.
Yeah, so maybe Kirk Cousins
and it did exist.
Says maybe Kirk Cousins says I'd like to order a heap and helping of elephant poop, courtesy of Arthur Blank.
That's one thing you could do.
Or you could
Derek
do what,
did verify
James Harden.
That you could get on that website, that it did exist. And the first question on the questionnaire for him was, what kind of bleep would you like?
Gina,
and they had the categories.
Gino on our text line says, problem is Kirk Cousins doesn't have the character to do the things needed to get him fired, a.k.a. released. He seems too kind, maybe.
He does.
But I'm wondering about Cousins.
So okay, so tell me where you're going with this, because where does he figure into the universe if he is out
well,
there
we
on
mentioned
the
we mentioned the Steelers. What if the Aaron Rodgers-Pittsburgh Steelers marriage does not come to fruition? And the Steelers are like, are we really going to start Mason Rudolph at quarterback? Really? Why don't we go trade for Kirk Cousins?
The shortage year in and year out of quarterbacks always leads us to these questions.
Again,
at this time of
the
year.
We lived the Mason Rudolph experience. It wasn't a great experience. It was a boring experience. At least Will Levis, he went down in flames. Mason Rudolph, playing quarterback.
Yes.
So the Steelers, I mean, look, Mason Rudolph had some success with the Steelers, but
some
is the operative word. But I'm wondering about Cousins. I'm wondering if a team gets desperate enough to call the Falcons about Cousins.
Well, this goes back to, is he good enough to where you would actually trade something for him?
It doesn't appear that the Falcons are planning on cutting him. I think
they can say that.
Yes.
But this is where the Cousins, how would you get out of it? How would you make life so miserable on them that they will just say, you know, forget it?
I told you, send elephant poop to the owner. That's how I would.
That would be a start. So that would be on the questionnaire. A, what type of bleep do you want? And B, who would you like to send the bleep to? Those were the first two questions that Derek pulled up when he pulled up the website.
Yes.
It's a simple process.
So I think Kirk Cousins is sort of a wild card in all of this when it comes to the quarterback situations around
okay,
the
league. So you're the Steelers. Would you rather have Cousins?
Would I rather have Kirk Cousins than Mason Rudolph? Yes.
Okay. So that would be, it just goes south with Rodgers, the soap opera,
yes.
the baggage, all that comes with Rodgers.
You're not getting that
not
with Kirk
doing
Cousins.
That. Not doing that. So you would rather have Cousins than Mason Rudolph
would
for
be,
1 year.
The Steelers do not appear to be an organization
that's
willing to take that step
back. They're between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, they're. I mean, the Steelers are consistently in the playoff mix. You know, they don't seem like an organization that's willing to take that big step back, at least not to my knowledge.
But you can argue that the Steelers are very close to being in the mediocre range, right?
I think they're there. Even when they make the playoffs, they're the sixth or seventh seed in the AFC, right?
And is it better to make the playoffs? I think there's something to be said for that.
Okay.
To making the playoffs is legit, but at a point, there becomes a point where you're spinning your wheels and you're not getting anywhere. So what do you do? Like they've got some good aspects of their team. They just traded, I guess I would say, their most talented wide receiver, right?
George Pickens.
So what's best case, no matter who they start? And are they better off just taking a step back to take the steps forward? Are they at that point? I look at them a little bit like the Titans of a couple years ago, right? They're trying to figure out how do we keep it together and be good because we're not bad. It's like I think Mike Vrabel, the year that John Robinson got fired, I think they were at that point. They didn't have a lot of young people in the pipeline because of the poor drafts, and they thought they could still win the AFC South. And I guess this was after Robinson was fired, I guess. It was the first year of Rank Arthur, where they kind of said, let's give it one more go with Tannehill, with Byers, with Derrick Henry, and say, maybe we can still do it. I think the Steelers are at that crossroads.
615-737-1025. We can ask Tim Hasselbeck about that and other things related to the NFL, the quarterback position, and the Tennessee Titans. And we will do that next. Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN will join us. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason. I'm not Derek Mason. I'm Adam Vingan. See, bad habit. Willie Dunick, Adam Vingan. Derek Mason will be on the 3 o'clock. 1025, 106.3 The Game.